Who was Jehoshaphat? Well, 2 Chronicles 17, 1 through 10, we're going to read that. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. That is Asa, good King Asa, as he was called. And this is his son Jehoshaphat. If I've said it correctly, I hope not, because brother just filet mignon me because I don't say it correctly. Well, so why? I do not have a doctorate of theology. I have not studied Hebrew, have studied a little Greek and a whole lot, but I'll tell you what, you don't have to know either one of those languages to understand God's Word and to make an application from it. Okay, it helps sometimes, but that's not it. So, the Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. That's the first verse that you should underline in your Bible. In 2 Chronicles 17, 1, the Jehoshaphat's son reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. Why did he do that? Because there was danger there. There was a danger. Okay? And he placed troops in all the 45 cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Again, Israel's brought up. He knew that Israel was wrong. It was bad. Who was the king of Israel? We have one called Ahab, King Ahab. And his wife, well, we all know her, Jezebel. Jezebel. And he says, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore, fifth verse, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. And so I'm going to skip down here, if you don't mind, to the ninth verse. So they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judea and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands there were around Judah so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat. I'll go ahead and read 11. And also some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as a tribute. And the Arabians brought him flocks and 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat, the 12th verse says, became increasingly powerful. And he built fortresses and storage cities in Judah. And he had much property in the cities of Judah. And the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And again, these are their numbers according to their father's house of Judah. And I'm going to take the rest of my time. Like you can see up here on the board, that indeed I've already done the math, if you will, 14 through 19. And when you add up the number of soldiers mentioned in verses 14 through 19, you find out that he had a standing army of 1,160,000 soldiers. And that is nothing to sneeze at. And the Lord, and they were men of valor. They were just not an army, they were men of valor. Every one was like an army within themselves. This was a tremendous army that he had. Do we realize how secure Jehoshaphat was from the armies of Israel? But was he safe from Ahab and Jezebel? Should have been. But was he safe from the influence of religious tolerance? Oh. See, brethren, today, they're not safe from the teachings of religious tolerance. Because they're being taught in these different churches of Christ that it doesn't matter what you believe. Because it's just a matter of opinion anyway. We already talked about that last night, didn't we? If you don't believe me and what you think, I'm going to tell you something. You just listen to some of the tapes. And have a bag of clothes that you can throw up into. I'll guarantee you. It's sickening. It's sickening, brethren. What they call gospel preaching, they haven't heard gospel preaching so long, they don't know what gospel preaching is. They have no idea. Because when a man stands there and says he's preaching the gospel, it doesn't use the word of God. And he doesn't talk about what one has to do to be saved. And then when the lesson is through, he's decided that it's just an old church Christ tradition anyway. So he just says, well, if you have a need, come. And as I said last night, I need money, so I guess I come forward and get some money. I mean, come on, brethren. What kind of mess is that? It's bad. But was he saved from the influence of religious tolerance? That's the question tonight. What did Jehoshaphat do? Well, did Jehoshaphat have to make a deal with Ahab? And you notice I put the devil. look at 1 Kings 21, verse 25. First, you hold your place now. 2 Chronicles 17, and look, if you will, at 1 Kings, not hard to find, down the way here, in 1 Kings, the 16th chapter, and verses 29 through 33, this pretty well sums it up, brethren, about Ahab, so you know who it is that we're talking about, if you don't know. You know about Elijah and Ahab, but do you understand what the Bible says about Ahab, King Ahab? 1 Kings 16, verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And that's some pretty bad people. And it came to pass as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. And then he set up an altar of Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Now you think about that. He had more. But there was nobody, as it says in the 21st chapter and 25th verse of 1 Kings, there was none like Ahab that sold himself to a woman, that is to Jezebel. He sold out completely. 2 Chronicles 18, let's go on to the 18th chapter. In the 18th chapter, 2 Chronicles 18, up to this time, you said, it wasn't King Jehoshaphat a wonderful king? Wasn't he a good king? Oh yes, he was. Look how God blessed him. There is no doubt he was a good king. I don't know if anybody I've ever met that ever thought he was a bad king. Not a one thought that. And then I said, well, did you read the 18th chapter of 2 Chronicles? Did you notice something there is a little bit different about what you think about him? And then you come to the 18th. You see, the Bible, it'll tell you exactly whether it's good or bad. It'll tell you the truth. And so in the 18th chapter, 2 Chronicles 18, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, and by marriage he allied himself with Ahab. Ooh, what in the world? What in the world? What's up with that? As the children would say, what's up with that? So after some years, the second verse, this is 2 Chronicles 18, verse 2, and it says, and after some years he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. Well, you know, a false teacher, it's been my experience in life, but a false teacher will do anything for you. They'll help your family. They'll help your children. They'll give you gifts. They'll do everything on this earth until you question what they're teaching, and then they'll chop your head off. You're done. Because they're looking for followers. And that's what they're looking for. And that's what they do. That's exactly. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go up with me, or will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? And listen to what Jehoshaphat said. And he answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be, with you in the war. I can imagine myself with Max Licato sitting in the pew saying, well, it's okay, brother. We all be brethren. There's no problem here, no matter what you've written that undermines the authority of Christ and all the things that you've written that are full of darkness and have led so many souls astray. But he's not the only one. There's many more. Many, many more. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the Lord, for the word of the Lord today. You know, he should have inquired before he went up to the house of Ahab. But he didn't do that. Sometimes, brethren, we go seek a job out here, and we're making ready to go to this job, and then all of a sudden we say, and find a house to live in, and all of a sudden it runs up, yeah, but is there a faithful church? Or is there a church? First, they just say church. Is there a faithful church? And they get to finding out that there's some 100, 200 miles away, or even, if it's even that. And then they go, well, I don't know, but this is a good job. A lot of good money. Going to live a lot better than we're living right now. Yeah, but what about hell? Oh, well, we're not that bad off, aren't you? Don't know, see? Do you think Jehoshaphat was bad off? Do you think he was bad off? Sure doesn't look like he's bad off, does it? Looks like God loves him. Looks like he did some good things, didn't he? But what's the problem? He's made a deal with the devil. He's in the house of Ahab. And he's asking Ahab, said, well, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. And the Lord is Jehovah God. That's who he's talking about. Who is the Lord for Ahab? Well, it's Baal. Did you get that? Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. But Jehoshaphat said, now watch, before I even go to the sixth verse. So they said, go up. Now who are the 400 men? They're prophets of Baal. Are you listening? They're prophets of Baal. They're not the prophets of God, Jehovah God. They're the prophets of Baal, because that's who he serves. Did you not catch that in the 17th chapter? Did you catch who Ahab serves? Or back here in 1 Kings 16, did you catch that? But Jehoshaphat said in the 6th verse, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? That's like me going to a Catholic church and the priest begins to preach and I say, well, is it God going to use book, chapter, and verse for what he's saying? And everybody says, sit down. Be quiet, be quiet. We don't believe that here. And you say, well, yeah, that's Catholic Church, but what about the Lord's Church? What about when you find people are saying to you, shh, shh, you shouldn't be saying these things. It's upsetting to people. And we don't want to upset. This church is at peace. What do we find out in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12? In the last couple of nights in our lessons, what does it say? Yea, and those who desire to live godly in this present world shall suffer persecution. So if you're not suffering persecution and the church seems to be at peace, neighbor, look out. Because if we're standing up for the truth, there's going to be trouble. People say that I'm the trouble of Israel. They have no idea. They don't have any idea at all. Because people don't want to hear this kind of preaching. You know that's true, they don't. And he said, but is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? And so the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 7th verse, 18th chapter, 2 Chronicles, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. He's talking about Lord Jehovah. But I hate him. Oh, I hate him. I just hate him. Well, we'd have Dennis for a meeting, but I just hate him. He's so mean and nasty. I said, well, I know. I shoot first and ask questions later. It's always been like that. And when people just disagree with me, I just pull out my machete and chop off the head. That's just how I am. Now, if you believe that, you know, I've got some property, oceanfront property in Arizona I'd like to sell you. Because he never, now listen, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Wow, you've come to the kingdom of Ahab and you're rebuking Ahab. And there you are in his house. Brethren, let not the king say such things. And the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah the son of Imlah quickly. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on his throne, and they sat at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them, and that's the prophets of Baal. Now Zedekiah, the son of Shenaniah, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. And every time I've ever preached, I've preached words of encouragement. But they don't see them that way. They see them as trouble. They see them as me getting into their business. Who am I to tell them what they can and cannot do? Nobody, but God is. They have no respect for God's word, brethren. That's what's wrong. Any more than Jehoshaphat, who was so good, had any respect for the Lord God to go in such a place and look for God. So, let your word, so he says, Micaiah, let your, you know. Now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. They all say the same thing. Therefore, please let your word be like one of them and speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. And every gospel preacher on earth, if he calls himself a gospel preacher, should follow those words. But that is exactly what we as Christians are supposed to do, not just preachers. That he came to the king, and the king said, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, go and prosper, and they shall be delivered to your hand. So the king, this is Ahab, he said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? That's interesting. I have saying that, isn't it? He says, Micaiah, you're hateful like that, and now I want you to tell me the truth, because you know that's not the truth. You know. Then he said, this is Micaiah, 16th verse. I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as the sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? Didn't I tell you? But he told the truth. I didn't like that. That's not what I want to hear. I've had brethren who said to me, I'm not coming back here. I said, are you threatening me or the Lord? Who are you threatening? Who are you threatening? Me or the Lord? I said, listen, you threaten me all you want to. I'm not the judge, but Jesus is. And what he says, you'll stand in judgment for. And the very words that are coming out of your mouth right now, you'll stand in judgment for it. You're lost, my friend, because you think that the church belongs to you. And you think that you have the authority to tell the church what it ought to believe and not believe. And I have no authority like that at all. For I'm just a man. And I'm here to bring the message of the cross from the Bible. To be sure people understand exactly what Jesus said and not what they think he said or what I think they said, but what he said. And you'll find out why that's so important later. And the king, and did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? Then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. 18th verse. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, in what way? He said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Then Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the spirit from the Lord go from me to you, to speak to you? And Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Amnon, the governor of the city, to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction till I return in peace. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. Take heed, all you people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. Oh, by the way, I don't remember Micaiah ever getting out of that place. He said, if you come back in peace, which he did not. But still, what happened to Micaiah? So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, are you with me now? 29th verse, 18th chapter of 2 Chronicles. So the king of Israel disguised himself. Well, he said, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I'll disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went into battle. Now the king of Syria commanded the captains of the chariots who were with him, saying, fight with no one, small or great, but only with the king of Israel. And so it was when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they surrounded him to attack, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. Now why did the Lord help him? He put himself in a place he should never have been. But you see, the Lord is merciful. And my friend, if you're in a place that you shouldn't be, maybe you get out of there and not be in that place. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and the Lord delivered him from him. And so it was, when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver's chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Syrians until the evening. And about that time of sunset, he died. And of course, as they washed out the chariot of his blood, the dogs licked the blood, as they had Naboth's blood of Jezreel, who he had stolen from him. 19th chapter. Okay. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him. And by the way, Asa threw Hananiah in prison to go back to the 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles because he preached the truth. And the seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? And I keep saying this to my brethren. Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? You think it's an accident that the preachers on the other side, I'm called the other side, if you will, the invisible division, that they're making over, what, 100,000 or more? Is it any accident that they're making that kind of money? Not that I'm jealous of them. Pray tell, no, I'm not. I don't want to be in their shoes. No, sir. No, thank you. At all. Because the brethren want a name. And it's not the name of Jesus. They want somebody to follow. And it's not God. They want somebody they can see. Someone who's a great orator. Something that everybody says, oh yeah, he's a great speaker. You know what? Whether he's a great speaker or not, does he speak the words of Jesus? There's the greatest speaker I know. Greatest teacher I know. What are we thinking? We're not thinking at all. Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore the wrath of the Lord is upon you. So you see, it wasn't just a small matter. The wrath of the Lord is upon you because you have helped the wicked and you love those who hate the Lord, which is Ahab. Oh, your people are my people. Your people are my people. We all brethren. It's all good. No, it's not all good. And it never was. And what a silly thing to think and say to the destruction of your own children and grandchildren. Because that's what's going to happen. That's what's happened before. Now listen carefully. Therefore the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, and that you remove the wooden images from the land and prepared your heart to seek God. So Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountain of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Then he set judges in the land throughout all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed to what you're doing, for you do not judge for a man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment, not now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, no taking of bribes. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the leaders, it says, or rather some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief followers of Israel, and when they returned to Jerusalem, and he commanded them, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against law or commandment against statutes or ordinances, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this and you will not be guilty. And take notice, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebaniah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah. For all the king's matters also, the Levites will be officials before you, they will be official before you. Behave courageously, and the Lord will be with the good. God will be with the good. Now, this is really not that long a lesson. It should not be so, brethren. The question, where have you been and what have you done? That's the question we should ask Jehoshaphat. And you know what? That's the question we should ask of our brethren. Where have you been? What have you done? Did you stay in a place where the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up by His words? By His words? Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. These are easy things to understand. Then why isn't the preacher preaching this? Why isn't the church demanding that? Why, indeed? Because they become more worldly and more worldly and worldly. They're closer to the house of Ahab than they are to the house of Jehoshaphat. But here's even Jehoshaphat, and he makes such a... He said, I just made one mistake. Yep. Yeah. Well, he made a little more than just one. But the thing is, that Jehoshaphat could have seen the future, though. Do you want to see the future? Oh, brethren, you don't even have to see. You already see it. You're already seeing it now. 2 Chronicles 21. Are you with me? 2 Chronicles 21. 1-6, and Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And remember, he did all these good acts. He did all of these things after he was warned, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? And after that, he turned around and did some good things. He was buried with his father in the city of David. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. He had brothers and the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shaddiah. And all these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now, when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers with the sword and also the others of the princes of Israel. I wonder if Jehoshaphat saw that coming. What do you think? I wonder if they saw that coming. Do you, Christian friends, see what's going to happen to your children and grandchildren when you don't stand up for the words of the Lord? Do you understand, no matter how insignificant it may be to you, do you realize how big it is to the Lord? Do you understand that He gave His Son freely on the cross so we might go away from these kinds of things and teach His Word and His Word only? And the trouble is that that's not what the people want. Well, who cares what the people want? They better want what God wants. They better want what Jesus wants. And stop this nonsense of playing church. Brethren, that's what they're doing. They're playing church. Don't you see that's what they're doing? Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. I think that means he's 40 when he died. Interesting. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. And in his days, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. So Jehoram went out with all his officers and all his chariots with him, and he rose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him and the captains of the chariots. Thus Edom has been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day. And at the time, Libnah revolted against Israel because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry and led Judah astray. And a letter came to him. Are you ready for this? 12th verse, 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles. And a letter came to him, that is to Jehoram the king, from Elijah the prophet. And let me tell you something. When you get a letter from the prophet Elijah, you best pay attention. You best pay attention, brethren. Thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, or in the ways of Asa king of Judah. And who was it that Elijah had trouble with? Oh yeah, that's right, Ahab. Interesting. He knew all about Ahab, didn't he? So he's writing to him. But have walked in the way of the kings of Israel and have made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot at the harlotry of the house of Ahab, and also killed your brothers, those of your father's household, who were better than yourself. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children, your wives, and all your possessions, and you will become very sick with a disease of your intestines until your intestines come out by reason of sickness day by day. You're going to die, and it's going to be horrible. That's the letter from Elijah. And so, it goes on, and he did not, in fact, in the next verse, 16th verse, moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the ravens who were near the Ethiopians, and they came up unto Judah and invaded and carried away all the possessions that were found in the king's house, and also his sons and his wives, so that there was not a son left to him except Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, the Lord struck him and his intestines with an incurable disease. Then it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness. So he died in severe pain, and his people made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers. How severe was it? I don't know about you, but I've seen cancer. And I've seen colorectal cancer. And I've seen something horrible. And that's what he got. But wasn't it Jehoshaphat's fault? He gave him over to Ahab to make a deal. But Jehoshaphat was good, though. Why, you couldn't fault old Jehoshaphat. Look, except one. He helps the wicked and loves those who hate the Lord. How many times have I seen that in my lifetime as a gospel preacher? Have I seen those who are very upstanding, upright preachers of the gospel who, from my youth up, I was very impressed with them until they made a deal with the devil? They did the same stinking thing that Jehoshaphat did. And then they spent the rest of their life trying to hold on to what they knew was right, but they'd made a deal with the devil. And their fellowship was rotten, and it was wrong. Brethren, fellowship is the center of the problem in the church today, as it always has been. And so, he was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and to no one's sorrow departed. However, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. You understand this, don't you? Romans 15:4, the things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Well, what's so hopeful about this thing? Everything. We have the hope that we can turn around and serve the Lord and not make deals with the devil and act like brethren are okay that are not okay. Brethren, that's what's happened. Don't you see it? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. And of course, these things are examples to us upon whom the ends of the ages have come. The 11th verse says, written for our admonition, our warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. That's us. And in 2 Timothy 4, what does he say? There's a warning by the Apostle Paul to Timothy the evangelist. And what does he say? Look at it here, please. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And here we find in 2 Timothy 4, which you probably, I can quote this to you, as I said last night, not before, and that's not going to help you. You need to read it for yourself. You need to check out what I'm saying. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, convince and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. How many times? Steve, maybe you're getting the same calls. I know, Tom, you've gotten the same calls. Keith, maybe you've gotten the same calls. You know what? I don't care if you get these calls or not. They call them and say, brother, we're looking for a faithful preacher. I said, really? Really? I'm not being sarcastic. And where are you going to find one? Well, that's why we called you. I said, well, I wish I had a long list, but I don't. Now, if you've got a lot of money and you have a 401k program and you could... I said, you're kidding me. No, I'm not. Because they're looking for the things of this world and not the things of God. And that's what's wrong with the preachers that you see today. As that's always been. Brethren, this is nothing new. This is just as old as it could possibly be. This is what happens. Oh, me. But notice... Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. But we're being overcome with evil, brethren. We're to overcome evil with good. But how can we do that making deals with the devil? How can you say when you know, I mean, if you know full well that there's a college called Florida College, and you know for a fact that in that college they have had professors such as, you know, just go through the list of them. But the point of it is that they're teaching error. And they've been teaching error for a long time. And nobody seems to want to stand up and say, that's error. Emperor has no clothes. I mean, nobody's willing to stand up and say, this is not what it used to be. And it's not. There was a time when Florida College was a good college. There were many good principles it was based on, but that day has passed. It is no more. Ask the alumni. They'll tell you. They know. In their hearts they know that everything has changed there. But don't let me be the one to say that to you. You go look it up. I'll probably get a letter now from their public relations man. I don't know who he is right now. I've gotten several letters before. Well, that's okay. Keep sending your letters. Keep sending them. Because I've still got the Word of God. I don't know what you've got, but I got God's Word. And this tells me the truth of it. And I know what's right and wrong, you know, because I'm not yet been persuaded that everything that I interpret from the Scriptures is just a matter of my own opinion or relative. That's ridiculous. God's Word stands when the heavens are on fire and the world is no more. The Word of God will stand, and it will stand strong, brethren. And these names of preachers will long be gone. Long be gone. 1 Corinthians 15:33, my aunt used to quote this to me until I just wanted to go, ugh! Dennis, don't you know that evil companionship corrupts good morals? Don't you know that, Dennis? And I thought, I quoted back to her what she said. You remember First Corinthians? No, I'm going to quote it back to her. Said, well, why don't you do something like that? I said, well, I thought it was. No. You're no deal, Aunt Jane. I did. But the thing was, though, it's true. And now I have churches who I've considered to be faithful for many years, and they're starting to have these preachers who do not preach the truth. And if they do preach the truth, it's an academic study. And if it's that much, even that, it's not guiding people in the way they ought to go. It's not teaching them what they need. It didn't teach them how to study the Bible for themselves. It doesn't tell them people have to do to be saved. They don't say in that. And there's old James 4 and 4, but Colossians 3, 1 and 2. We are to be different for the world around us. Do you understand this? Look at it. Just look at it. I laughingly told people for the first 10 years of my preaching, I couldn't preach a sermon without mentioning Colossians 3, 1 and 2. I just couldn't do it. Because I knew that this was what was the heart of the problem. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And somebody says, well, I'm trying to live it right, but I can't be held responsible for my brother or my sister or my fellow Christian. Oh, you can't? If your example is leading them astray, then oh, yes, it can. And oh, yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. Well, who am I? I'm just some small thing. No. The devil has not overlooked you, I promise. He wants to use you. Who's the best weapon of the devil? It's Christians who don't know their Bible. It's Christians who don't believe that they have to do anything to be a Christian. They don't have to say no to anything. Have I gone astray on that one? Isn't that exactly what it is? What I've seen. Preacher just recently took my daughter aside at a wedding, and he says, "Well, and the first thing out of his mouth, my daughter, well, don't you have a brother or some of your family that you've lost to drugs?" I said, and she said, "Yes, he's lost to meth. That's my son, by the way." And then she said, "Yes, isn't it amazing? I've lost my brother to meth, but my dad has taken his children and is raising his children. And now by himself, because my wife has died. And now I'm going to do that. Why? Because I'm such a great guy? No, because that's my responsibility as a Christian. Do you not understand, brethren, that I believe that 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8 stands for something? For he will not take care of his own is worse than an unbeliever. Don't you understand this principle applies all the way around across with all your family? God forbid that we should make a deal in the house of Ahab and think somehow we'll walk away unscathed, because that ain't going to happen. Now you say, well, what are you talking about, Dennis? Well, okay, let's try again. Let's try something else. Maybe this, you'll understand this. In these churches, they're supposed to be faithful. They call themselves NI churches. I don't know why they call them that. But anyway, non-institutional churches. But they're doing everything. They're not preaching God's Word. That it is inspired of God. They're not teaching it that way. And I'm making application. But the thing is, though, is that now they're coming into the churches that are faithful, such as this one, or such as Woodmont, or Westside in Fort Worth, and they're walking to those churches and they're introducing their children to them. Just the same as Jehoshaphat went to the house of Ahab and made a deal with the devil and gave his son over to Ahab's daughter. Don't you see how this works? I want to say, duh, don't you get it? Don't you see this is the same thing that Balaam taught Balak to put a stumbling block for the children of Israel? He said, just give them your sons and your daughters for marriage, and God will curse them. And sure enough, they intermarried with them and they were gone. Here's the church. Same thing, hadn't changed. Does it matter what you stand up for? Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. And what happens when you stand up for the truth? You're in trouble. You must be a conservative. Oh no! How could it be that you're a conservative? That's a horrible thing. And my grandchildren asked me, said, they said, Grandpa, what is a liberal? And I said, well, children, I can only illustrate it to you. So I went and got a big glass of water and I went outside and I poured it on the ground and said, now watch that water. I said, where did it go? Well, it went over here, one here. I said, yeah, but did you not notice? It was seeking the pathway of least resistance, and that's liberalism. That's liberals. They're seeking the pathway of least resistance. And if you're going to stand up for the Lord, it's going to be resistance. We're even told to resist the devil and he will flee from you. What in the world is wrong with our thinking, brethren? What has led us down such a dark road? Ye are the light of the world, Jesus said. We are to be a bright and shining light in a world of darkness that's all around us. We're letting the light be put out. Little children used to go, don't let the devil your light out. And people say, oh, that's a cute song. No, it's not a cute song because that's what's happening. I need to work on that short. Religious tolerance or compromise. Well, should you help the wicked, love those that hate the Lord? Don't you see that's compromise? Don't you see that's tolerance? Don't you see that's what it is? Because you'd barter the truth of God for feelings and how people feel. Well, I want to make them feel comfortable. Really? Really? You want to make the devil feel comfortable? Well, then let your children go run amok and never find out what they're watching or what they're doing on the internet or what anything else that's going on in their lives. And you'll be finding the devil in your life real quick. And you'll wonder how it happened. Well, it must have been that church what that preacher was preaching. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. It's what you are paying attention to because it was what's important to you. And your children know what's important to you, just like mine do. St. Chronicles 19:2. All right. So are you different from the world? That's my question tonight. Are you different from the world? 1 Peter 1:13 through 21. Peter said, be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. We must make the application, not be hearers only, James 1:22. Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Our Bible study must be more than an academic approach to the Scriptures. Don't you see that's what's wrong? Had a fellow, a member of the church, he came and visited the West Avenue B Church of Christ that's in Lampasas where I preach. And he came from Massachusetts. That's all right. I don't hold anything that against him. I didn't call him a Yankee. I was nice. I was very nice. I was going to feed him a meal. We got the Bible class and I was reading along there and he said, well, you know that's Nebuchadnezzar. I said, oh, okay. Wow! I've been misleading the brethren all of these years. Come on, brethren. It's not the names, it's what they did. Little children that can stand and quote the entire genealogy of Christ. My hat is off to them. What a great thing. But do they know who those people were? Do they have a clue who these in the lineage of Christ were and how horrible some of them were? Do they know anything about this at all? This is what I told you the other night. I said, a little second grade girl in our class came up and she could read verses, she could read paragraphs just perfectly, beautifully. And then one day I asked her, I said, well, honey, what does that mean? And she said, I don't know. I don't know. And I said, honey, I said, do you know what this word? I don't know. I said, well, this word means this. And she went, oh. And I said, and this word, you know what this word means? I don't know. Look at this. Oh, that means that, yes. And then I said, now read the paragraph again. And as she began to read it, all of a sudden she goes, does that really mean that? And that's how she said it too. And I said, yes, it does. And she went, and her light came on. Brethren, I'm ready for Christians for their light to come on. I want them to read God's Word, and I want it to be important in their lives and something that's a matter of life and death. And not act like it doesn't matter because if the priest didn't preach me or preach what he should have or taught me what I should have learned, well, then that's his fault. And he'll stand in the judgment. Okay, I'll stand in the judgment, but you're going to stand for yourself, neighbor. Don't you even dare try to pull me up in front of the Lord. Lord, he knows what I'm doing. I'll guarantee you, you're looking around for people to stand in your place and nobody's going to stand in your place but yourself. And you're going to give an answer to things you've done in the body, whether good or evil. And don't let the devil kid yourself about it. It doesn't matter what you do. It matters what you say. It matters where you go. It matters what you wear. It matters the words you use around friends and workers. It matters because the devil is watching. Amen. Constantly watching. Looking for a kink in the armor of the Lord. Denying ungodliness? Yes, sir. Titus 2:11-14, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Teaching us that what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age. Brethren, that's the grace of God. It brings salvation. But what does he say? It appeared to all men that we should deny ungodliness, not go along with it and act like it's okay. Well, they're just like that. Really? Well, then they need to stop it. People say, I don't know, Dennis, you're kind of mean. Because Psalms 1:1-6, blessed the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You remember that? That's what our brethren are doing. They're walking in the counsel of the ungodly because they're not demanding book, chapter, and verse for what they're teaching. Nor stands in the path of sinners. And I don't mean you stand in front of them. It means you walk with them. That's what it means. Don't you see? Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And there's a lot of people doing that as Christians. Well, I wouldn't be so bold as to say I knew anything for sure in God's Word. Then if you're a preacher, sit down. Sit down and let someone stand up with God's Word and preach it. I will tell you tonight, as I did, I think each time I've preached here in this place, that Gary Scott and Matthews Lane, he's dead now. I'm sorry that he is. But when I went there to hold a meeting, he was very upset with me. Very upset. And he wouldn't let me teach the Bible class that that Sunday morning. For my class. I said, okay, fine. So he started out, and here's how he started the class. Looked out in the audience, he said, I want you brethren to understand and remember what I've always said this. That whatever I teach in this class or preach in this pulpit, it's just a matter of my opinion and my opinion only. Well, I'll raise my hand. And you know he didn't call on me. And then the guy at the back, who was a member of the church, so he raised his hand. And here's what he said, Brother Scott, do I understand you say that you said that whatever you teach, whatever you preach is a matter of your opinion only? And Gary Scott, yes, absolutely. And he said, well, then you need to sit down, brother. I didn't come here to hear your opinion. I came here to hear the Word of God and hear what Gary Scott said in defense of himself. Well, I wouldn't be so arrogant or bold to say that I understood anything for sure in God's Word. And he's proud of it. This is the kind of preachers you're up against. If you don't think you are, you can open your eyes and see what's happening. It is not happening. It has happened, brethren. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And that, my friend, is the point of it. And his law, and on his law, and in his law, he meditates day and night. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And he also knows the way of the wicked, too. But he knows the way of the righteous. And if you're walking in a pathway that's right in the sight of the Lord, then God bless you. For many do not. And many think this is just a preacher fuss, or a tempest in a teapot, or you go through all the things brethren said before and said, well, wherever smoke is fire. Let me tell you something, brethren. The Lord said that he came to bring a sword, division, Luke 12, verse 49-57. And he said, you think I came to bring peace on earth? I tell you, not at all. Not at all. I brought a sword to divide households. Now, why would the Lord say that? Was he against the home? No. He demanded obedience from those who would follow him. And that's still true to this day. Maybe that's not. You're not a New Testament Christian, and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that's the case, oh my, I like the birds. But truthfully though, if you understand that you're not a Christian because you've not been immersed in water for the remission of your sins, then my dear friend, you need to think very seriously about what we've talked about tonight, because the world is following the devil. And we're trying to follow Christ, and I believe we can follow Christ if we'll keep His Word. But to keep His Word, you've got to repent of your sins. He won't take you just as you are, so you stay as you are. You must come in humble obedience to His will, repent of your sins, turn from the way of life you're living, come and live for Jesus for the rest of your life, till you die. That's right. And if you have that kind of commitment to Jesus, then come and confess Him with your mouth as the Son of God. Giving glory to the name of Christ, who is our Savior, and be buried in water baptism for remission of all sins. And then will you be raised to walk in newness of life. You see, I didn't say, do you have a need? Because if you have a need, you know you do. And you know you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what Jesus died for. And as a Christian, do you need our prayers? I know that many of us do. We sin, brethren, as Christians. We sin. Christians are not perfect, but they're perfected. They grow up. Hopefully. And when they grow up, they learn the things that are wrong in their lives, and they want to make it right. And they want brethren to know that they're now back on the pathway of right. And we'll pray with you and for you, because we want to go to heaven when we die. Don't you? Won't you come while we stand and while we sing? Won't you come?